You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. My name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a plant-based lifestyle for health and wellness, for the planet, and for animal welfare. A plant-based diet consists of vegetables, grains, legumes like beans and lentils, fruits, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. It excludes all animal protein, including meat, dairy, and eggs. If you're just getting started on a plant-based diet, I highly recommend listening to my very first podcast. That's podcast number one, Getting Started on a Plant-Based Diet. I'm feeling very relaxed today because I just returned from our annual family reunion in Cape Cod. It was a very special week with people that I truly feel blessed to have in my life. Of course, with family, there is always a little drama and a little bit of a wake-up call, especially for me. Here's what happened. I was discussing a family problem with my cousin, and when I agreed with her, she said she was surprised I agreed. I said, "Why are you surprised?" And she said, "Because you," meaning me, "are such a Pollyanna." I was like, "Pollyanna? What?" I didn't even know exactly what that word meant. But I did know in that moment she wasn't flattering me. When I got back to the house, I Googled the term Pollyanna, and it said, an excessively cheerful and optimistic person. I thought, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being cheerful and optimistic? But it got me thinking that maybe I don't share enough about my own missteps, challenges, mistakes, and fears with people. And maybe I do come off very optimistic. Even here on this podcast, maybe I don't share enough of some of the hard times I experienced making the transition to a plant-based diet. So today, I thought I wouldn't be a Pollyanna and share some of my challenges. In 2011, when I began a plant-based diet, I was not a perfect vegan by any means. There were times in the beginning I became so frustrated because I couldn't figure out what to order from a menu that didn't include dairy or eggs. And when I was in a restaurant, servers would become so annoyed with me because I asked so many questions about the ingredients in a dish. Or I would be invited to a dinner and there would be nothing that I could eat, which leads to temptation because you're starving. Or when I decided to write a vegan food blog and wanted to share my recipes with the world, I would experiment with complicated recipes and I ended up throwing the food out because it didn't come together. There were so many challenges. So, no, it's not always easy at the beginning, and I know you have heard this before, but you have to work for the best things in life. And I am so grateful that I didn't give up, because I now believe my plant-based diet is my fountain of youth. I now have the energy of a teenager. When I see a mountain, I want to run up it, and I feel so connected to the world. Because becoming vegan inspired me to make better choices in every aspect of my life. And I have never been happier or more proud of myself and my choices. So yes, it's not always easy, but I promise if you decide to make the switch to a plant-based diet, it will play a large role in your happiness, your connectivity, and, of course, your health. Albert Einstein once said, "If you always do what you always did, you will always get what you always got. So don't give up and always have faith in the healthy, vibrant personal transformation you will experience. I promise. Now let's talk about today's podcast, which will be devoted to buying organic fruits and vegetables, storing fruits and vegetables, and properly cooking fruits and vegetables. I was inspired to record this podcast about organic produce because of some big news this week in the United States. Amazon, the world's third largest retailer, acquired a large grocery chain in the United States called Whole Foods. Whole Foods has often been nicknamed Whole Paycheck because of its reputation of being overpriced. It is one of my favorite grocery stores, so I always disagreed with that because the quality of their fruits and vegetables is so outstanding. At any rate, Jeff Wilk, CEO of Amazon Worldwide, issued a press release that said, "We're determined to make healthy and organic food affordable for everyone. Everybody should be able to eat Whole Foods market quality. We will lower prices without compromising Whole Foods market's long-held commitment to the highest standards." Well, that is really good news, because healthy, organic food is very expensive for most people. And I hope their promise is true, because everyone in the world deserves access to healthy, affordable food. So, let's begin this podcast with the most important question. Do you need to spend extra money on organic fruits and vegetables? Non-organic fruit and vegetables contain pesticides. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine, pesticides cause cancer in animals. And they recommend that humans should try to have minimum exposure to pesticides to reduce the risk of cancer. Different pesticides have been associated with different cancers. Always remember, pesticides by nature are designed to kill, so they are poison. The risk from pesticides on conventional produce varies from very low to very high, depending on the type of produce and the country where it is grown. The differences can be dramatic. For instance, eating one serving of green beans from the U.S. is 200 times riskier than eating a serving of U.S.-grown broccoli. So if you need to save money and can't buy all organic fruits and vegetables, use the risk chart. According to the Environmental Working Group, there are 13 domestically grown non-organic fruits and vegetables that pose a higher risk of pesticides. The Dirty Dozen Plus One for 2017 are strawberries, spinach, nectarines, apples, peaches, pears, cherries, grapes, celery, tomatoes, sweet bell peppers, potatoes, and hot peppers. The EWG recommends that you always buy these fruits and vegetables as organic. Also, according to the EWG, the clean 15 produce with the least pesticides are sweet corn, avocados, pineapples, cabbage, onions, sweet peas, papayas, asparagus, mangoes, eggplant, honeydew, kiwi, cantaloupe, cauliflower, and grapefruit. I will make sure there is a link to these lists in this week's show notes. One other thing I would like to note is that conventional corn, papaya, and summer squash sold in the United States is produced from genetically modified seeds, so buy organic varieties of these crops if you want to avoid GMOs. And I highly recommend avoiding all GMOs. As far as flavor goes, no one seems to be able to agree which is more flavorful, conventional or organic. Although I am certain of one thing, if you want better flavor, you need to choose fruits and vegetables grown locally, ripe, and in season. The length of time that fruits and vegetables stay on the vine, ground, or tree contributes to a higher nutrient content and usually much richer in taste. Fruits and vegetables that have been shipped from all over the world had to be picked before they were ripe in order to last the entire global shipping time. At the end of the day, you know what you can afford. And the last thing I want to do is discourage you to buy lots of fruits and vegetables. Also, don't rule out organic frozen produce. Often it is much cheaper and tastes just as good in stews and soups. Conventional or organic, whatever choice you make, the last thing you want to do is have your fruits and vegetables go to waste by not storing them properly or having them lose their flavor by not cooking them properly. So let's start with how to maintain pigmentation. Did you know your sense of taste is intertwined with your sense of sight? Fruits and vegetables come in a dazzling array of colors, from snowy whites to dynamic greens to bright orange, blues, and deep reds. It is a painter's palette of foods that contain little fat, no cholesterol, and no sodium. Fruits and vegetables are the healthiest foods on the planet that you can eat. What gives vegetables and fruits their specific color is the presence of certain pigments in their cells. These three main pigments are called chlorophyll, flavonoids, and carotene. To maintain these natural, vibrant colors during cooking, it is important to understand that each category needs to be treated differently. So let's discuss the pigment categories and the things to keep in mind during cooking to preserve the optimal flavor and color for each category. Green vegetables such as broccoli, asparagus, and green beans contain the pigment chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is very sensitive to heat and acid. If thrown briefly into boiling water, these vegetables will become vibrant and bright. However, overcooking makes these vegetables suffer major color loss. Also, if green vegetables are cooked in a liquid with an acid like lemon juice or vinegar, they will quickly turn from a bright green to a dull olive color. Green vegetables also contain a small amount of natural acid, which will leach out during cooking, so plenty of water will help to dilute those natural acids and keep the color vibrant. It is also important to cook green vegetables without a lid so the acids do not condensate on the lid and fall back into the cooking liquid. If you want to finish the green vegetables with an acidic vinegar or sauce, I always recommend doing this right before serving to prevent the color from changing. Always remember to cook your green vegetables in rapidly boiling water for a short period of time in order to keep them green. Salt isn't necessary, and I am of the belief to always add salt before serving only. Sodium, lost in urine, drags calcium with it. Therefore, the more sodium out, the greater loss of calcium. That is why people who eat high-salt diets are prone to developing kidney stones and osteoporosis. You don't need salt to maintain the bright green color, but salt does speed up the cooking process. Now let's talk about red and white vegetables, which contain various flavonoid pigments. Examples of red and purple fruits and vegetables are blueberries, red cabbage, red beets, and red onions. Also, white fruits and vegetables contain flavonoid pigments, such as cauliflower and parsnips. Flavonoid pigments usually require an acid in order to maintain their color. So, just add 1 to 2 tablespoons of an acid like lemon per quart of liquid. Adding something like red wine vinegar to beets or red cabbage will also help them keep their pigment from leaching out. Even if you forget in the beginning and add the acid partway through, it will help maintain their beautiful color. Another example of how acids affect the pigments is for batters like pancakes or muffins. For example, blueberry pancakes. If you want to maintain the deep purple hue of blueberries, the presence of an acid is required. A slightly acidic batter will prevent a green ring from forming and will maintain the beautiful color of the berries. Also, when cooking different vegetables that leach color like red or yellow beets, it is important to cook them separately in order for them to maintain their natural color. It is also a good idea to wear gloves when working with vegetables like beets that leach color because they will stain anything they come into contact with. For white vegetables like cauliflower, parsnips, and mushrooms, adding an acid such as lemon will help keep them white during cooking. So if you're looking to preserve color in red, purple, or white fruits and vegetables, it is best to use an acid when cooking. Orange and yellow vegetables like carrots, sweet potatoes, and squash contain the pigment carotene. The human body converts carotene into vitamin A. We need vitamin A for our immune system, healthy skin, mucous membrane, and for good eye health and vision. The carotene pigment is very stable and can usually tolerate any method of cooking, whether with an acid or not. I recommend adding it halfway through because acids tend to keep vegetables firm. Adding it halfway through will allow the vegetable to become tender while still preserving its color. The last thing I want to mention is called enzymatic browning. I know all you avocado lovers know what I'm talking about. Enzymatic browning occurs with ingredients like apples, potatoes, bananas, and of course avocados. It occurs when the cells of the fruit or vegetables are bruised or cut. The exposed cells oxidize and discolor. To avoid this, the simplest method is to coat the surface with lemon or lime juice or place the cut ingredient into water that has an acid, like lemon or lime. In the case of potatoes, they simply need to be submerged into water to minimize their exposure to the oxygen. Okay, I believe I have covered all the vegetables and fruit color categories. But before we talk about storing vegetables properly, let's go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen and cook one of my favorite plant-based soups. This recipe can be prepared and ready to eat in less than 20 minutes. The soup is full of fiber and protein, which keeps you full longer. It also has simple, delicious, rustic flavors that everyone loves. So let's get started on our chickpea soup with cabbage and tomatoes. This serves approximately 4 to 6 people. You need 1/2 cup of vegetable broth for sauteing, plus 2 to 4 cups for the soup. You need 1 small head of cabbage chopped into bite-sized pieces, 1 onion chopped, 3 to 4 garlic cloves chopped, 2 15-ounce cartons of cooked chickpeas, rinsed, 3 cups of diced tomatoes, fresh or canned, 1 tablespoon of dried basil, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper. Here's what you do. In a large soup pot, heat the half a cup of vegetable broth. Add the dried basil, salt, and pepper. Add the chopped onion and saute it until it's soft and translucent. This usually takes 3 to 5 minutes. Add the garlic and saute for another minute. Add the diced tomatoes, cabbage, and cooked chickpeas. Cover with vegetable broth, bring it to a boil, and cook for approximately 15 to 20 minutes or until the cabbage is cooked. Taste for seasoning and add more if needed. That is it. I will put the recipe link in this week's show notes. Hope you enjoy this chickpea soup with cabbage and tomatoes as much as I did. Now, let's discuss storing vegetables. Has this ever happened to you? You make a shopping list, you go to the store, you put everything away, and then all of a sudden, a few days have flown by, you go to use your produce, and you discover your beautiful, expensive produce is now limp and lifeless. It is one of my pet peeves. I really dislike wasting food. So I made sure I took the time to learn how to store fruits and vegetables. Here are some of the general rules to follow to extend the shelf life of fruits and vegetables. Number one is be careful about what you store together in your fruit bowl on the counter. Many fruits and vegetables produce a chemical called ethylene as they ripen. The more ripe an ethylene producer is, the more gas it produces, and that fruit or vegetable can speed up the ripening process of other fruits in the same bowl. So your goal is to keep ethylene-sensitive fruits and vegetables like potatoes, apples, and mangoes away from high ethylene fruits and vegetables like avocados, peaches, bananas, tomatoes, apples, pears, and plums. For your information, basil is extra sensitive to ethylene, so keeping basil in a drawer with other produce makes it wilt. You can store basil in a jar of water out on the counter, much like you would cut flowers, or refrigerate the basil and other tender herbs, but never in the crisper because it is too cold for delicate herbs. Potatoes are best stored in a cool, dark place. Refrigerators are too cold and can cause the potato's starches to convert to sugar, which ruins the flavor. Onions also benefit from cold, dark storage. Putting them in the refrigerator can also ruin the flavor. Store leftover halved onions wrapped tightly in plastic wrap or in a zipper, lock bag, or airtight container in the fridge for almost up to 2 weeks. But be sure to use the stored onions only in cooked applications. Stored properly, a leftover halved onion works fine if cooked, but not as good raw. An option for green onions is to place your green onions in a jar and fill it with an inch or two of water, just enough to cover the roots. Then place the jar on a windowsill in your kitchen. Your onions will not only stay fresh, but continue to grow. Change or add the water every couple of days. Tomatoes. Tomatoes should never be put in your refrigerator. Refrigeration damages the membranes inside the fruit's walls and makes them taste bland. They should be left on the counter, in a bowl, and not with other fruits or vegetables. Bananas are tropical, and they like warm temperatures and no refrigeration. Consume fresh broccoli as soon as you can, as it will not keep long. To store it, just mist the unwashed heads, wrap it loosely in damp paper towels, and refrigerate. I would use it within 2 to 3 days. Do not store broccoli in a sealed container or a plastic bag. Cucumbers should be wrapped in plastic wrap. Keeping the cucumber wrapped minimizes the amount of moisture on the cucumber, which slows the process of decay. After wrapping, put the cucumber in the refrigerator. This should keep it cold enough to stay fresh for almost a week. Store fresh mushrooms the right way, and they'll also last a week. Here's how. Just place the whole unwashed mushrooms in a brown paper bag and fold the top of the bag over. Then stick the bag in the main compartment of your refrigerator. Lettuce. I like to wash and store my lettuce as soon as I buy it, so I have easy access to a quick salad, and I always use the entire head of lettuce. All you have to do is remove the core. Iceberg, romaine, and other lettuce with a stiff core will last longer when this core is removed. Then I like to wash it and completely dry my lettuce. Then I wrap the lettuce in paper towels. I store it in a covered container and place it in the crisper drawer. My last tip is to wait to wash your fruit and vegetables until you're ready to use them, except for the lettuce. If you want to save money and not waste food, I recommend that you stay organized and plan out your meals for the week according to the organic produce that's in season. And once again, don't be afraid to buy frozen organic fruits and vegetables, which could save you money. That is it for today's podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. Please keep those emails and voice messages coming. You have no idea how much I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to contact me with your kind words and suggestions. You can find all my podcasts at ordinaryvegan.net/playlist and all my delicious plant-based recipes at ordinaryvegan.net. If you get time, please leave a review in iTunes and make sure you subscribe. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.